This morning marks our second sermon in our new series entitled Meaningful Membership. Meaningful Membership is a series of several sermons where we're exploring the significance of church membership in the Scripture. Last Sunday, as we kicked off this study, we examined whether or not church membership is biblical. And what we found in studying these several passages of Scripture in the New Testament is that indeed church membership is biblical. To be connected to the body of Christ, we are to manifest that association with Jesus in a real formal belonging with a local church where church members are saying, we'll take responsibility for this new member that's becoming a part of our congregation. And where that new member is saying, I will take certain responsibilities in coming into this church. So there are formal covenant promises that are made between the church and the church member. So church membership is biblical. This morning we're going to continue our series, and we're going to be looking in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 specifically. The Southern Baptist Convention, to which we belong, reports that as a denomination, we have approximately 15.5 million members. Now, on any given Sunday, there are not 15 million. There are not 14 million. There are not 13 million. There are not 12, not 11, not 10, not 9, not 8, not 7, not even 6. But there are 5.6 million Southern Baptists who are actually in church on a given Sunday. Does that startle you? Does that concern you? That we boast we have almost 16 million church members, but almost two-thirds, every time a Sunday rolls around, are MIA, missing in action. Now, while there are possible reasons to explain some of those people not being in church, one reason that is a struggle for many pastors that we're having to face today concerning the discrepancy of church members on Southern Baptist rolls within churches and those who actually show up to attend church is this: committed Christians today are simply attending church less often than they did in prior generations. According to one writer who has investigated this situation, people who used to attend church once every week are now attending church three times a month. Those who used to come twice a month are now only attending church once a month. And those who used to attend once a month are now gracing the doors of their local church about half a dozen times a year. Put simply, declining attendance, specifically in our Southern Baptist churches, is a problem today. In a recent blog post, Tom Rainer, over Lifeway Research, he posits that Christians dropping out of church and attending less often is centrally connected to a lack of discipleship in the local church. Church members are not understanding the biblical basis and what membership means for actually being a part of the local church in attendance. Tom Rainer writes in his book, I Am a Church Member, he says, based on our research of 557 churches, 9 out of 10 churches in America are declining or growing at a pace that is slower than that of their communities. Churches are losing ground in their own backyards. And this is what he goes on to say. I am proposing that we who are church members need to look in the mirror. I'm suggesting that congregations across America are weak because many of us church members have lost the biblical understanding of what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. Contrary to what many church members think today, church attendance is not optional. It's not, well, I can take it or I can leave it. Mark Dever is correct in the article that he wrote, The Doctrine of the Church, The most fundamental duty Christians have in relation to the congregation is the duty to regularly attend gatherings of the congregation. The most fundamental duty that Christians have to the church is to regularly gather when the church gathers together. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, we see this truth being brought out in this passage. Let me set up the context of Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 19 through 25 are one paragraph of thought in Hebrews chapter 10. The writer of Hebrews in the beginning verses, starting in verse 19, he speaks about the work of Christ, what Christ has done for us in his penalty-paying death, shedding his own blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And he talks about the access that Jesus has made for the Christian so that he or she can come into the presence of God. So he talks about the work of Christ. Then he talks about who Jesus is. He is our great high priest. He is the one who is the go-between, the mediator between a man and God. Jesus Christ, based upon what he's done and based upon who he is, we see in verse 24 and 25 that there is this responsibility. Because Jesus has given us access to the Father, every church member bears the scriptural duty to regularly attend the gatherings of their local church. Let me state that again. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Every church member bears the scriptural duty to regularly attend the gatherings of their local church. I want us to examine these two verses together in light of the overall context here. And I want you to see four truths about church members who intentionally forsake, who intentionally do not gather with their local church on a consistent basis. We're not talking about shut-ins. We're not talking about people who are in the nursing home. We're not talking about people who are obstructed and cannot physically be in church. We're talking about those people who could be here, but they choose otherwise not to be in the local church when their local church is gathering because they put other priorities in front of their commitment to Jesus Christ. There are four truths in this text. We'll look at them together after reading the passage. Looking in verse 24, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together. Notice in verse 25, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Father, take this message. Lord, will you work it into the hearts of your people? God, will you help us to understand that meaningful membership involves a commitment to regularly attend church, our most fundamental duty. Help us to see the truths in this passage concerning the Christian who forsakes regularly assembling with their congregation. And we pray it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. First of all, in this passage, starting out in verse 24, we see this truth concerning those Christians who do not regularly attend worship with their congregation. First of all, they cannot show a deep concern for their community of faith. In verse 24, the writer of Hebrews gives this command in light of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. He says in verse 24, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. The command here is consider. This word consider, let me read you a definition. It means to think about carefully, consider attentively, contemplate, to fix one's eyes and mind upon something. David Allen, in his commentary on Hebrews, he says it involves a careful consideration, a thoughtful attention, and a deep concern. What is the Christian or the church member's attention to be fixed upon? What is this deep concern in their heart about? Notice what the verse goes on to say. Let us consider one another. It's the community of faith. It's his or her brothers and sisters in Christ. There's to be this deep reflection of thought, this careful attention given to the other members of the body of Christ. And notice the purpose for this attention. He says to stimulate one another. This word stimulate, it means to incite. It means to provoke. It means to stir up in a good sense. What are we inciting and provoking and stirring up in one another? Look at the rest of the verse. Love and good deeds. The writer of Hebrews is telling us in this command that we are to consider one another. And the way we are to consider one another, he goes on in verse 25 and gives this participle. He says, not forsaking. That participial phrase, not forsaking, it goes back to the command and tells us the way you actually fulfill the command of considering others is by not being absent from the congregation when the church is gathered together. The way you can give deep concerning thought, careful attention to focus your mind and eyes in the way you should is you are to be present when your church family is gathered together, and you have a role when you're here. You are to be intentional, to provoke them, to stir them up, to love God supremely, to love others sacrificially, and to be involved in the good works that Jesus Christ has called all of us to be a part of. Before basketball games in high school, I remember this my senior year, we had a guard. He was a junior. His name was Toby Doak. We would all be in the locker room. We're about to run out on that court. The song's about to start playing. And this is what Toby would do. Toby would go around to each of us as we were in our locker. And Toby was a fiery guy, man. He would get in your face and he'd come up to me and he'd be like, Donald, are you ready to play today? Donald, are you ready to play? And I say, yes, Toby, I'm ready to play. And then Toby's going to give you this chest bump. He's going to give you this high five. He's going to go around doing that to everyone. One guy, man, he would go around slapping him in the face, getting him going. And by the time Toby was finished with us, I'm telling you, we were fired up and we were ready to get out on that court. And we were going to play the best game that we could play. One commentator, in looking at this word, stimulating, this is what the commentator says. The act of considering one another means to set one's mind on the community members with a view to animating them and firing them up. You see, your role in being a church member is to be present when the rest of us are gathered together, because God intends you to be someone in the life of this church and the relationships you have to fire people up, to love God, to love others, and to serve God faithfully in all the things that he's called us to do. I love what my pastor says in his book on Hebrews. He says the emphasis here is not on what a believer gets from the assembly, but it's on what he can contribute to the assembly. You see, today we've got this consumerism view of church. I'm going to the church because of what they're going to give me, how they're going to serve me, how they're going to cater to me. But the writer of Hebrews is telling us your mentality of church is you're a part of that local body. God's got a role for you, and so you're going there with the purpose not so much of getting, though you do get, but of giving. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is telling us. Listen, the person who haphazardly, sporadically, occasionally attends church, listen, you cannot show this kind of deep concern that the writer of Hebrews says that church members are to show towards one another. Whether the haphazard church attender realizes it or not, this is the message they convey when they're in church and they're out of church. When they come one Sunday a month and they could be here every Sunday, this is what they're saying, whether they realize it or not. I don't really care as much for you. I don't have as much concern for you as I should, because most of the concern that I have really revolves around me. You see, they're not showing humility and service towards the rest of the congregation, but they're actually showing selfishness in their own life. And before anybody dare say that this pastor in this pulpit is being legalistic about church membership and church attendance, you listen to the text of this passage. I'll appeal to Scripture any day over a case of legalism. Legalism has to do with the heart. Notice what the writer of Hebrews says here. He says, you be here not as a matter of legalism, but because you love God and you love others and you want to promote love in their lives. It's not a matter of legalism. It's a matter of love. And this ultimately relates back to what Jesus Christ has done for us. If you love him and you see Jesus the way you should see Jesus, then you will be in church faithfully. Listen, if you're not faithful to church, if you miss church regularly, you cannot show this kind of deep concern for the community of faith. Number two. Not only can you not show this kind of deep concern for the community of faith, but those who regularly miss church when they could be here, they disobey the clear instruction of Scripture on regularly assembling together. Look in verse 25. The writer of Hebrews says, let us consider, then he says, not forsaking our own assembly together. The word forsake, it means to abandon. It means to desert. It means to separate connection with someone or something. The word here is concerning what are we forsaking? He says our own assembly. This phrase, our own assembly, it refers to the regular gatherings of the local church when other brothers and sisters in Christ are assembling together for the purposes of worship, exhortation, and instruction in the Word of God. Now notice the next phrase that follows. Not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the habit of some. Even in the early days of the church, church leaders were having to deal with this problem. Those who were committed Christians or confessing Christ who were abstaining from coming together with the local body. We don't know the exact reasons why here in Hebrews they were abstaining, but they were abstaining for a reason or various reasons. But the pattern in the early church was not to forsake, but actually to gather together. We see in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, this was the case. We see in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, and 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, that when early believers gathered together, it was regularly on the first day of the week. The day of the Lord transitioned from Saturday to Sunday because Jesus Christ himself was resurrected on a Sunday. So believers in Jesus met regularly on Sunday to worship the Lord. Those church members who are negligent in attending church regularly, they're disobeying a clear teaching of Scripture. Now, let's just say the truth that needs to be said. Let's get it out. I'm not shy about saying truth when I can back it up with the Scripture. Those church members who are hit and miss, those church members who are in and then they're out, who can attend, but they choose not to attend, Mark Dever is correct when he says they are, in fact, in sin. Those church members who regularly neglect gathering together, their lives, and I say this pastorally, they're not right with Jesus. They are living in sin. This passage here in Hebrews, it's a warning. Notice what he says. He says, don't forsake as the habit is of some. Those some referenced here, they're the negative example. The writer of Hebrews, he was concerned about those some. See, they were in a dangerous place. They were trying to live the Christian life in isolation. They didn't want somebody to hold them accountable. They didn't want responsibility in the church. And they were in a dangerous place. And there was cause to question whether or not you could even have confidence in their salvation because they were no longer gathering with the local body. Listen, this is a sin all across our Southern Baptist denomination. We have church members on the rolls that it would be hard for the FBI to find them if they started investigating. And it's a sin that we have got to call out to be faithful to what it means to be a part of the body of Jesus Christ. This is not a private sin, guys. This isn't something going on behind closed doors. the person who's missing their quiet time, you know, that's going on behind closed doors. That's not being advertised. This is a public, in-your-face sin where they're saying, I can be a part of the church and I can do what I want because there's no obligation to actually be in the house of the Lord. Those Christians who neglect to regularly attend, they cannot show a deep concern for the community of faith. Number two, they disobey a clear instruction of Scripture. Number three, they fail to be an encourager of others. Look in verse 25. Not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. You see, the negative is missing. The positive element is actually being here to be an encourager. The word encourage, it speaks of exhortation. It speaks of someone who makes a strong appeal. There is this urging that has strength behind it. It pictures someone who's coming alongside of another in their devotion to Christ, and you want to cheer them on. You want to put strength into their life. You want to edify and build them up in their walk with the Lord. You see, if there's ever to be a time of the week when encouragement is going on, it's to be the day when God's people gather together in His house to encourage one another to speak truth into the lives of others. I'm telling you, I'm thankful to God for the encouragers that He's put into my life in this church. I'm so thankful for Jerry Onstead and the words of encouragement that he gives me regularly, Sunday in and Sunday out. I'm thankful for Harry Wheeler and the way that he encourages me week in and week out. I'm thankful for Ken and Karen Brown and the words of truth that they speak into my life and how they encourage me. I'm thankful for Ed Adams and the words that he speaks into my life to lift me up, because I'm going to tell you, there are days when I needed to hear those words, and they were spoken at the right time, and God used their words to minister to my heart and to lift me up. I'm thankful for Beth Kaiser and Lynn Kaiser and how kind they are in lifting me up and speaking encouraging words into my life. God's people are to assemble together on Sunday, come together to worship and to encourage one another. Listen, to be an encourager, you must actually be present with the physical body of Jesus Christ when it gathers together. You can't do this online at your computer connecting to a church podcast. That's not envisioned in this text. You cannot weep with those who are weeping. You can't mourn with those who are mourning. You can't rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Celebrate with those who are celebrating. You can't be a presence for the person who's lonely. You can't do these kinds of encouraging things if you are absent from the local church. Those who habitually miss, they fail to be encouragers of their brothers and sisters in Christ. And then last of all, those who neglect faithful church attendance, they cannot show a deep concern for the community of faith, they disobey a clear instruction of Scripture, and they fail to be encouragers. And then there's one last point in this text. They also show no fear of coming judgment. Look in verse 25. Not forsaking our assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The writer of Hebrews tells his readers, his audience, to encourage one another. And you excel in that kind of encouragement because the day is drawing near. What is this day? It's this day we spoke about in Malachi as we just finished up our study in that Old Testament book. It's the day of the Lord. It's the day of coming judgment. It's the second coming of Christ. Listen to what Leon Morris writes in his commentary on Hebrews. He says, the main thing here is that the writer is stressing the accountability of his readers. They must act toward their fellow believers as those who will give an account of themselves to God. Again, those who neglect attending church faithfully, they may not mean to broadcast this, but this is what the writer of Hebrews is saying. When you forsake assembling, you are broadcasting this message, a certain message about Jesus Christ, and it's this, namely, that you have no fear of the judgment that you're going to have to give before him one day. You're showing no fear of the coming judgment. Listen, it's true that believers who've truly repented of their sins and trusted in Christ, we don't have to stand before God one day and answer for the penalty of sins. Jesus Christ took our hell on the cross, and he paid for our sin once and for all. But the Bible tells us all of God's people, all Christians, will still stand before God, and they will have to give an account. We're going to have to give an account for the works that we've done in our body as Christians, for how faithful or how unfaithful we have been in regard to Jesus Christ. You see, one day we're all, as believers in Jesus, I'm going to, and everyone here who's trusted in Christ, we're going to stand before him. And on that day, Christians who have neglected attending church faithfully, it's going to be a sad day. Because the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there are going to be believers who stand before Jesus, and they're going to suffer loss. I don't know exactly what that's going to entail, but it's not written to be a positive picture. It's not a good thing. You see, you're going to stand before him one day, and you're going to see those hands that were pierced on that cross. You're going to see the feet that were pierced. You're going to see his side that was pierced, all because of your sin. All that he went through to keep you from going to hell and having to spend an eternity separated from God. You're going to see him one day. And I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, you're going to wish then that you had done what you can do now. Did you get that? You're going to wish then that you could do what you can do now. Why do you think this preacher stands up here and he pleads and he encourages and he exhorts and he rebukes and he calls you to do what the scripture commands? Because I know in the end, all that's going to matter is how faithful you were or were not to Jesus Christ. I'm not doing this for a paycheck. I'm not doing this to win the approval of men. I'm doing it because I care about the flock that Jesus Christ has given to me. And I want all of us to be presented mature to him. And I want you to give a good, faithful accounting to Jesus Christ one day. And listen, you can't do that. You won't do it well if you're not faithful to gather with the local church. So what does this mean for us? Let me give you some application this morning. First of all, why are church members attending church less often? I want to run through these real quickly. Number one, some church members are not Christians. We need to be honest about that fact. We have a lot of people on our rolls that are not going to heaven in Southern Baptist life. I agree with Dr. Paige Patterson. He's right about this. The reason we have so many people who act like lost people in the church that are church members is because they're actually lost. We've got people who walk the aisles, they prayed a prayer, but they didn't do what Jesus commands in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. They didn't repent of their sins, and they didn't truly believe the gospel. So the reason some people aren't here, they're just not Christians. Number two, cultural Christianity is dead today. Years ago, people attended church because there was this stigma if you didn't attend. There was this guilt they felt, well, I've got to go to church, or the people at work, or the guys down at the country club, or whatever other group they're a part of, they're going to think lesser of me if I don't tell them I'm actually in church. Well, the culture shifted now. That's a thing of the past. It's not the common thing to attend church any longer. Actually, it's the uncommon thing. So cultural Christians, which is actually an oxymoron, these are not really saved people either. They've just been good at masking themselves. They've talked the talk. They've fit in for a while. But now that the culture's changed, there's been an easy exit to leave the church. So church attendance is down among those who are church members because cultural Christianity has died. Number three, churches have lowered their expectations. Very few churches across this land are ever going to preach a series like I'm preaching right now on church membership. Church membership really doesn't have much meaning in most of our churches. We have bloated roles of our Southern Baptist churches all across the country. And I dare say there are probably some pastors, you take a church that's got 5,000 members on its roll, they're more excited about the fact that they've got 5,000 names on a list than they are concerned about the fact that they only have 1,000 in attendance on a Sunday, and 4,000 of those people are missing every week. I, as a pastor, I'm concerned about those who are on our list, but they never come. Number four, there's a lack of discipleship strategy. We just have not followed Jesus' model of discipleship, and we're paying the consequences for it now. We've lowered expectations, and church members, Christians, have lived up to those expectations, and they don't come to church faithfully. We have greater affluence today than we used to. Middle-class families have more money. And so with the rise of income, we have people who are choosing to do things on the weekends, and which consequently takes them out of church regularly. We have more travel than ever before. People leave town more often than they used to. And we understand when things come up with a job appointment or something, you have to leave. But we have a lot of people today that just because they've got more money and they like to travel, they choose to leave, and they're traveling more than they used to. So that hurts church attendance on a given Sunday. We've got the rise of what we would call online church. I was speaking with a girl in the area sometime back, and I asked her if she attended church anywhere, and this is what she told me. She said, "I attend church at my home." And I knew what she was saying. She logs in, or she gets on the computer, connects to the internet, and she watches her favorite podcast pastor. And so we have Christians who are substituting coming to the physical church to actually watch church online, which is not a legitimate substitute. And then last of all, we have the rise of children's sports. Elementary, middle school, and high school sports now compete with church on Sundays. When I was growing up, the schools respected Sundays, and sporting events were not offered on that day. But that's a thing of the past now. And here's what's happening. Parents are choosing sports over God. I'm about to go here, and I know it's going to upset some families, but it needs to be said. Mom and Dad, when you choose sports over church, you're teaching your children that it's okay to put other things in front of God. Now follow me here. There's coming a day when those kids are going to be out of your home. And they're no longer in sports because there are very few students who ever get a collegiate scholarship, very few that ever make it to a professional level. So they're going to be out on their own, out in the workforce, and they're not going to be in church faithfully. And it's going to concern your heart because you're going to start thinking, man, this life is but a vapor. And you're going to try reaching out to your kid. You're going to be like, why are you not in church on Sundays? What's going on? Do you remember those commercials back in the 90s when they would show a kid using drugs and the dad would come into the room and he'd say, where did you learn to do that? He would say, I learned it from watching you, Dad. This is what your kids are going to say. Mom and Dad, I learned it from watching you. You taught me, and I talked with a youth pastor who's working up north. He said, Donald, I'm having a struggle in youth ministry because we've got a generation of parents who've raised their children, teaching them that it's okay to put sports above God, and now I can't get them into church. And you would be amazed at the statistics that the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission is putting out on students dropping out of church after they're out of their parents' home. Listen, you may think, well, my kid's saved and he's going to always be faithful to the church. One, you don't know absolutely that your child is saved. We have so many students that are dropping out of school or out of church once they get out of their parents' homes. You see, there are so many people that are coming forward and walking the aisle saying, I prayed a prayer back then, but it wasn't real. I never truly repented and gave my life to Jesus. And so we have fewer and fewer people in church because moms and dads are saying sports matter more. And when you do that, you're committing idolatry. We are to put nothing above God. I'm thankful for one of our deacons in our church. When he went through our deacon interview process, this is what he said he told his son. He set the ground limits, and he told his son, you can be involved in sports, but if they're going to pull you away from church, we're going to choose church. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I know that stings. I know some of you don't like to hear it, but listen, when you're standing before Jesus one day, you will be glad that you chose him over sports. Why are non-attending church members so dangerous? Let me give you a couple of reasons. One, allowing church members to be non-attenders, to say, hey, I want to be a part of Lakeland Baptist Church, but don't expect me to show up. It's dangerous because it confuses non-Christians in the world. You see, those people who have their names on the roll here at Lakeland, but they don't attend faithfully, they're out in the world. People are talking with them. Are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Where do you go to church? Oh, I'm a member down at Lakeland, but I don't ever attend. See, that sends a message to a lost world that, oh, those people at Lakeland, they believe a message that really doesn't have implications for how you're to live your life. It confuses lost people. Number two, allowing church members to be non-attenders is dangerous because this practice misleads other brothers and sisters in Christ. The church that cares nothing for members who don't attend is basically telling the rest of the congregation, it's okay for you to have your name on our rolls and you don't show up. You can come and go as you please. And as a result, those people end up becoming stumbling blocks for the weaker and more immature brethren in Christ. Number three, allowing church members to be non-attenders is dangerous because this practice allows them to avoid New Testament obligations. We have a responsibility as a church for those who join our fellowship to hold them accountable. It's for their good. That's what the New Testament teaches us. They need to be held accountable by other believers. They need to be held accountable by spiritual leaders. And then they have obligations they must commit to the church in turn. Number four, allowing church members to be non-attenders is dangerous because it misrepresents the gospel. To tell people, come and join us, and it's okay if we never see you again, it ends up actually hurting our gospel witness for Jesus Christ. I pray that Lakeland Baptist Church, we get this in our hearts and we understand what meaningful biblical membership means. And we're actually a church that's united and comes together and says, you know what, we're not about just names on a roll. We're about people who take seriously their commitment to Jesus Christ. And if you claim to be a part of the body of Christ, it means something. There's substance to being a part of Lakeland Baptist Church. And then number five, allowing church members to be non-attenders is dangerous because the church is affirming something important about those members who never attend. You say, what do I mean by that? Listen to what Mark Dever writes. Active members do the voluntary inactive members no service when they allow them to remain members of the church, since membership is the church's corporate endorsement of a person's salvation. Did you catch that? By calling someone a member of your church, you are saying that that individual has your church's endorsement as a Christian. Those people who are on our rolls and we never see them, they have forsaken assembling together. We're not saying that we know they're lost. There could be other reasons why they're here, but there are some that choose not to be here that could be. We're not saying we know they're lost, but what we're saying is, we can't in good conscience say we truly affirm that this person's a believer because they don't do the most fundamental, basic commandment of Scripture to gather together with the local body. You say, well, what's the solution to this problem that we have with declining attendance across the Southern Baptist Convention? I want to run through these quickly. Number one, we need to pray for our church. I want to encourage every one of you, make it a part of your regular prayer time with the Lord. Will you ask God to work in the hearts of Lakeland Baptist Church members? As for those who are here today and those who are not, and those we're going to be reaching out to in the coming months and weeks, to actually work in their hearts, to show them the importance of actually attending where they belong. Number two, we're going to keep preaching the gospel. We're going to help people understand that they're sinners separated from God, and Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross for their sins. He took their judgment and he arose on the third day, and that he commands all men everywhere to turn from their sin and to trust him, to commit their lives to him, and that that gospel has implications for the way you will live your life moving forward. We're going to keep preaching that gospel. We're going to raise the bar in expectations. We're already doing this in our new members class. We're communicating to people who join our church that Lakeland's not a social club. Lakeland's not a church where you come just to get your name on a list, but we're a church that's going to hold you accountable from our membership up to our leadership. We are going to raise the bar. Our motto is going to be that being a member at Lakeland Baptist Church is meaningful. We're going to show love and empathy, and we're going to move with patience. Let's be honest, some people are where they are right now because the church has failed them. The church has not done its job in connecting with those who ended up forsaking assembly. So we're going to do our due diligence to sympathize and to reach out and try to reconnect those to be here at our church where they belong. Number five, we're going to disciple. Jesse is now responsible for our discipleship ministries of the church. He and I are working closely together, and we are going to take seriously committing to raise up faithful disciples here who know Jesus, who grow in Jesus, and who go with Jesus. Number six, we're going to empower membership oversight. We're going to empower members to exercise pastoral oversight. You say, what do I mean by that? We're going to start encouraging you to step up and do what is your rightful responsibility. Those you know who are playing church, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, and they're not serious about Jesus, we're going to ask you in love and in all humility to start going after them. Hold them accountable as God expects you. Do your part. We as leaders can't always have our eyes on everyone, but when we're participating in meaningful membership, we're going to have eyes all over this church, and we're going to approach brothers and sisters in Christ in love because we care about them and their development in Christ, and we want to help them get to where they need to be. And we know that takes place by them actually being faithful to church. So when somebody's starting to miss, say, hey, brother, noticed I haven't seen you here in about 2 weeks. Is everything okay? Really do miss it when you're not here. Man, you missed a great Sunday school lesson last week, and God really worked in our hearts in that lesson. Hey, I want to see you next Sunday, okay? I want to see you in class. So we're going to start holding people accountable. Number seven, we're going to reclaim church discipline. We take seriously the task of church discipline because Jesus commands us to. Matthew chapter 18, 1 Corinthians 5, and we're going to look at that practice of church discipline later in this series. We'll move slowly, but we're going to do what Jesus says. You confront sinning members, and you call them to accountability to be faithful to him and to the church. We're going to try to connect people in small groups. If you're connected to a small group, I believe the studies show that you're 5 times more likely to be faithful to the local church than if you just show up for worship and then you exit. We want people to be connected in discipleship groups. We want people to be connected in Sunday school class because that's where you build the kind of relationships that are going to keep you established in the church. We're going to plug people into service. God has given you gifts, and when you're serving, you're more likely to be here on a Sunday because you have a responsibility before the Lord. We're going to maintain good records. Our records here at Lakeland Baptist Church are in pitiful shape. They've not been given attention for years. We have approximately 3,000 members on our rolls and 350 who attend regularly on a Sunday. We have got to get our rolls in shape, and we've got a process in place as we're working through that. You'll be learning more about it as this series develops. And then number 11, we're going to call people to repentance. Listen to what Jonathan Lehman says. Here's another way to think about what's at stake. How should we respond to the person who claims to be righteous in Christ but never pursues that righteousness? We would say that that person was self-deceived, and we would urge him to repent. So if a person says he knows Jesus and he's righteous but he never lives a righteous life, indulges in all the sin he wants, we would say, dude, you're deceived. You don't really know the Jesus I know. And then Jonathan Lehman goes on to say, Those who have freely been given Christ's righteousness, in turn, they pursue righteousness. By the same token, how should we respond to the person who claims to belong to the body of Christ universally, but never actually joins a body of Christ on earth? We should say that that person is self-deceived and should repent. We've got to call people to examine their lives to see whether they're truly in the faith and what the gospel is saying to them. Are you right with the Lord? And if not, what does that mean? Do you truly know Jesus, or have you just been living in disobedience? Either way, we've got to call people to repentance, because this matters in the end when we stand before God. Meaningful membership is a commitment to gather regularly with your local church. Meaningful commitment or membership is a commitment to gather regularly. Let me ask you this morning as we close, how would you rate your faithfulness to attend Lakeland on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest? How would you rate it on a scale of 1 to 10? If it's not fairly high, let me ask you this question. Why is it not? What is it in your life that's keeping you from being faithful to the most fundamental duty you have as a Christian, as a church member, to be faithful to your local church? I've heard people say that, you know, going to church, it all starts with the decision Saturday night. Let me tell you, the decision to be faithful to church, it started with me years ago, and I've already determined it in advance. Melody and I don't wake up on a Saturday and say, you know what, dear, I think we're going to go to church tomorrow. How many of you would be disappointed if that was your pastor's attitude? Got somebody raising their hand in the back. I'd be disappointed too, brother. You see, my decision to go to church, it's settled. 2017, I'm going to be in church on Sunday morning. 2018, I'm going to be in church on Sunday morning. God willing, nothing happens to me and I can't be there. I'm going to be there. It's a decision that's settled. Can I ask you this morning, as church members here at Lakeland Baptist Church, maybe this message has stung your heart because you would have to say, he's been speaking to me this morning. I'm one of those that comes once a month. I come twice a month. I let children's sports get in the way. I choose sports over Jesus, over the local church. I'm not showing deep concern for my church family. I'm not prepared to stand before God and give a faithful account, whatever. Can I ask you this morning that you will make the decision today and settle it in your heart that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're going to start being faithful to the body that God's made us a part of. And maybe you're here this morning and you're not a part of this church because you've never come to know Jesus Christ. You're not a part of Jesus. We're going to give you an opportunity to respond to him this morning. The Bible teaches us that we're sinners separated from God, and what we need more than anything is righteousness, to be accepted by him. God sent his son into this world. He lived a perfect life, and he died in your place to take your sin upon himself, and he was resurrected on the third day, and he offers his righteousness, forgiveness, a new start to everyone who will turn from their sin and commit their life to him. What do you need to do this morning? Would you please stand in response? Father, work in our hearts. Draw us near to you. May we decide today that meaningful membership here at Lakeland Baptist Church begins with, I will be committed to regularly attending church. In Jesus' name, amen.